We have Pastor Nicole. Amen.
I always wonder what Pastor Les is going to say, because he usually sometimes will say, well, the evangelist is coming. Special thank you to my helper this morning. He's pretty good looking, I think. For those of you who might not know, that's my husband, so I'm allowed to say he's cute. Just once in a while. Well, so glad to hear the Lord is present with us, and that we heard this morning that nothing is too difficult for him. I was even praying this morning, Lord, I have belief, but help my unbelief. You pray that this morning sometimes? Sometimes the things that you don't know what you're going to face or what you got to do, you just sometimes need that extra encouragement. So, Lord, we pray and we thank you that we've heard from you that nothing is too difficult for you. We thank you, Lord, that you will be there in the struggle and the rough times. You're there in the good times. And we remember and we are thankful for that. Lord, we want to be able to allow you to help our unbelief, that our faith may increase, that we may believe for more and see more and do more in your name. So we pray for that, Lord. We also, we just thank you for this week and what you're going to do. And because of us hearing your word, help us to put that into practice. And help us to put that into practice before we even leave this service. In Jesus' name, amen. I woke up this morning, and the verse of scripture that was on my mind, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. And I thought, wow, okay, God, what are you going to do today? Do you ever get some of those verses on your mind and you go, I wonder why that's on my mind? Yeah, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Listen to that and in the spirit. Let God arise. And let his enemies, bye-bye, go away. You know, sometimes we forget the main thing. Someone once said, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's what I want to talk about today, the main thing. We're in our Remember series, and what we're going to remember today, or what I hope that when you leave you'll remember, is three words. Put God first. You say that with me? Put God first. You know, it's very simple. It's very profound. If you have a pencil and paper today, you should write that down. Put God first. As I say this, it seems to me that we as the church need to make a culture shift. Pastor Nicole, what is a culture shift? Why do we need to make a change? Well, how it was explained to me was that culture is the predominating attitude and behavior that characterizes the functioning of a group or organization. So kind of why we do things, how we do things, and the outcome of it. Well, that culture starts with me. Creating that type of culture starts with you. It's the influence that you give. What are your attitudes and behaviors and how things function in your own life and that around you? Well, there are three P's. You'll be happy to know that, yes, I did go to Bible college. And, yes, one of the courses that we have to take is learning how to preach. And they always say that when you use 3 points, that's the best. And then they say, well, if you can use, I believe it's, where's Denise, alliteration, where you use the same letter for all 3 points, oh, even better. So I'm excelling this morning because I have 3 P's, okay? So if you're writing these down, you know, just hand clap for me. There are 3 P's. I want to check in with you regarding these. So if you're taking notes, you can write these down. Personal, private, public. Personal, private, public. Well, what do you mean by 3 P's? Well, my last name is Preston, so I didn't pick the P that way, but I just decided three P's would work. And these were the three words that I came up to. So what I mean is, what is our behavior, what is our attitude that make us who we are, that determine how we function or how we cope in our life, how we adapt, and in the lives around us? So in our personal time, that's just you, when you're by yourself, okay? What do? When the door is closed and, you know, not even your spouse is around, how do you act? Your own time, spiritually. What is the makeup of our prayer life? Our Bible reading, our seeking, and our listening? Yes, I did say listening time. Listening to God for what he has to tell you. As Christians, we say these things are important. We learn in Sunday school, you know, that song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. So in your personal life, are you doing all that? In your private life, our family time, our home time, the time in our marriage, are we doing devotions with our family? What are we watching for screen time? What do we do together? How do we act? How do we react? In our public life, well, that's, you know what, as soon as you leave your house, well, you've got neighbors. You got school. Our young people, you need to be talking to your friends about Jesus. But you know what? We do too. Adults, parents, when we're at work and someone says something that's not appropriate or something that goes against what you believe, do you stand up and you say something? That's something in our public life that we need to have the integrity. And we need to be able to walk in front of others with our head held high, knowing that we can talk about Jesus. When the spotlight's on you, how do you look? How are the three P's? We need to keep the main thing the main thing. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Exodus chapter 20. Some of you are thinking, oh, what is she going to talk about today with Exodus 20? The Ten Commandments. Do you think that you would be able to, you know, just like right now, just go like, okay, like name them all? What about your kids? Do you review these things with your kids? Ten Commandments. Laws that God has given. You know, the order of the commandments are not haphazard. They're not by accident. And God put the first one first because it's the most important one. On the screen, you'll see, you shall have no other gods before me. Seems pretty simple. Well, what's God saying? He's saying, put me first. Put God first. I demand first priority in your life. What does it mean to have no other gods before him? You know, I thought there's only one God. Well, yes, there is one God in three. But if we look at the letter on gods, the G is small. There are little gods that can crowd in our affection and devotion. Well, what are they? Well, could be your pursuit of your career. Could be television. Maybe politics. But having a strong foundation is crucial when you build a house, and it's also crucial when you build a family. The foundation for a good and strong family is to put God first. And it goes back to that formula, personal, private, public. If we turn to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 6. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. So he's he's talked about prayer. He's talked about talking about anxiety and worrying about tomorrow. But then he goes into verse 33. But seek first, not second, third, fourth, fifth. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all, not some, all these things will be added to you. All these things. Simply put God first. It is simple, isn't it? Like when you really get down to it, it is very, very simple. Wow, that was an easy sermon. But it's hard to put into our life, isn't it? Okay, how can we put God first? Well, we got to start with Jesus in everything you do. It can't just be a little bit here and there. We've really got to make that shift, that change. Start with Jesus in everything that you do. Then you got to be committed. Committed to trust him and his will. So when he speaks, you got to obey. Hey, can you speak to that person? Can you pray with that person? Can you do this for me? Yes. Man, we get mad at our kids when they don't come when we call them, right? Wonder what God thinks of us sometimes when we're like, I don't think, not today, Lord. Speak to them? No. Be committed to him and his will. Strive to do more. Make an effort. Abide in him. Trust him for everything. Susan, you trust God in everything. And we've seen that. Trust him. Abide in him. It's paramount for your life. Okay, so one teacher took the letters of the word first and made an acrostic, okay? And it's to describe about how to put God first. So I don't know if you can see that very well, but each color has the letter. So the darkest blue has the letter F. I can sort of see it. Finances. I, interests. Relationships. Schedule. And troubles. Now I'm going to go over them individually. Finances. Why not start with the most difficult one? Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty. Deuteronomy 14, verse 23, in the Living Bible. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to put God first in your lives. Now, that was in the Bible. Put God first. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to put God first in your lives. What? Yes. The Bible says that we are to give on the first day of the week. Well, for us, it's Sunday. That's when we have church, and tithing is an act of worship. Well, that's how we put God first. Start with finances. If we go to I, it's interests. What are you interested in doing in your free time, in your downtime? Maybe you have a hobby. Maybe a special interest, maybe an amusement that you like to do. What do you do for fun? What's relaxing? These are all good things. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So if you like to knit, crochet is actually back in. Not that I can crochet, but it's supposed to be easy, but do it all for the glory of God. You'd like to tinker with cars? Again, not really my kind of thing, but do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you enjoy, do it for the glory of God. You can put God first in everything you do, and there's nothing wrong with a hobby. Everyone needs downtime. But examine your heart and your motives. So what is it that you do? Is it right before God? And how much time does it take? The biggest question would be, does it take away from your time with God? Just one more video game. Just 10 more minutes on the Pinterest. Man, I love Pinterest. It's so great. But anyways, how much time is spent on your interests? Wait a minute. What about your phone? I like this new, I don't know if it's an app or what it is, but it comes on your phone once a week and it says, you have spent such and such time and your percentage is up or down from last week. Do you guys have that on your phone? It's a new thing. Oh, it's kind of good. It's kind of bad. It's kind of like, I spent how much time? How much time do you spend on your phone? I'm just playing games. I'm just playing games. It's okay. Oh, I'm just texting my friend. I'm just on that new WhatsApp. Yeah, it's great. Pinterest. I can get Pinterest on here. Sometimes we say, it'll relax me more. It'll get me in a better mood if I just have a little bit of downtime. But sometimes that's the time that we need to stop and go, I think I need time with God. Because sometimes the procrastination makes us not face the reality that we need to face. Okay, so finances, interests are relationships. Who are your friends? Do you choose your friends carefully? Proverbs 27, verse 19 in the Living Bible. What a man is really like is shown by the kinds of friends he chooses. Bless you. Amen, brother. Why? Because you become like the people you spend time with. So let me ask, what kind of friends do your kids have over? What kind of friends do you see your kids with? Are they a positive example? It's easier to pull someone down than to pull someone up. I read that this week and I went, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Pull someone down. So I can grab somebody's hand and pull them down quickly. But if I try and grab their hand and try and pull them up, it's a lot harder. Do we consider him in our decisions and choices in our relationships? And let me say right now, premarital sex is not okay with God. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, favorite verse of the Bible. But it's putting God first. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Great verse to memorize. Oh, but wait. One more question. Are the people that you spend the most time with helping you to get closer to God? Ouch. For some of us, yeah, that's hard. Got a lot of friends. I want to be with all of them. But in the end, look at your time for the week. Is it helping you get closer to God? Schedule is S. How does God show up in your schedule? I love having my schedule in front of me and on my phone so that I can look it up because lately I've been getting older and I forget a few things. I don't know about you, but no? You don't forget? Okay. Well, I do. I'm being honest here. Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 17. See then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be wise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, I cannot know his will unless I spend time with him. So how much time do you spend or devote to God, to church, to your family life, to ministry? Has work gotten the best of you lately? Sometimes it does. It's those times when we get home, our family takes the brunt of our mood or our situation, doesn't it? They end up with our bad attitude, or because we're just too tired. Well, have we scheduled God into our day? Because maybe that would have made our day better. You know, I saw this growing up. My mom daily read the Bible. And if she had missed for some reason, she would be like, oh, I'm just so scatterbrained. I did not read my Bible today, and this is why. What an excellent example for my brother and I to see the importance that she put on hearing from God and reading his word. Like every day. Why is this sometimes the hardest thing to do? But when we do it, it's always worth our time and effort. I'll be honest. I love to pray. I love to talk to God. I never have a problem with that. Maybe because I just talk too much, but anyways. You're laughing. But for me, to stop and read my Bible every day, it's hard. I do it. I try and do it. I work hard at doing it. But it's always worth it when I do. Always. Well, in some studying and downtime this week, I listened to an interview with a man named Bono from the group U2. And he was asked about the Bible, the book of Psalms in particular. And he was asked to try and give a one-word answer to these next questions. And I just found it so simple but so profound in how he answered. The question was, what is the one thing that you have learned through your reading about God in the Psalms? He replies. He listens. God listens. He was then asked, what is the one thing that you have learned about yourself through the reading of the Psalms? And without hesitation, he said, I don't listen enough. I love that. It's truth. It's the main thing, right? Reading God's word and listening to him. So is God part of everything that we do? I can't answer that. You can answer that. It's your life. It's your schedule. So do you daily allow him into your personal, private, and public life? It goes back to the three P's. Do you? Well, in our acrostic first, the last letter is T. Troubles. We all have them. Can't escape them. But let me tell you, Psalm 50, verse 15, it says, call unto me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. So when there's troubles, where do you turn? When there's problems, when there's the unexpected, when there's pressures, prayer should never be your last resort. It should always be your first. The author Eugene Peterson, who wrote The Message, the Bible, The Message, he said that when he first started translating the Psalms for someone, he wanted to try and get them to realize that praying wasn't trying to be nice before God. It's not nice. It's not pretty. It's being honest. He says, I like the Psalms. They're not pretty. They're not nice. They're not smooth. They're honest. And that's what we are trying for in our culture, honesty. Culture shift starts with us. When was the last time you were honest before God with your emotions, with how you feel? When you pray in your personal, private, or public life, does it reflect that you've been spending time with God? Because God wants truth. He wants you to be vulnerable and real. He wants you to be porous and open. There was another series of interviews that... Should I take a handheld? Are we good? Okay. I'm not touching it. There was another series of interviews that Bono had been a part of, and he was being interviewed by this professor from Fuller Seminary. And in it, Bono was asked a question. Why are you suspicious of real Christians? He said, it's their lack of realism. He says, having feelings is perfectly normal. Let them out. Okay, I'm gonna... Can you turn me off? Why is he suspicious of real Christians? Their lack of realism. Having feelings is perfectly normal. Let them out. And then he's asked, well, why do you like the Psalms? Because the writers let the feelings come out. He says, like David, I like David very much. He danced naked in front of the troops, and his missus was not at all happy. But it's about this abandonment. You got to get it out. Getting it out in the open is really important. It shows you the real state of the soul. We don't have to please God in any other way than to be brutally honest. That's the route to a relationship with God. This is what Bono says. Brutally honest. It's raw what he said. Abandonment is the real state of our soul. Well, when you pray, Christian, are you getting it out? Are you being real? Are you being honest? Are you telling the Lord, here it is? If asked, would the people around you who know you, that you are a Christian, would they say they're suspicious of you? In the world we live, we must show the real state of our soul. We must be brutally honest before God and the world. We need to show them who it is that we serve and listen to. Are we fully committed? We come to church on Sundays, yep. But does it stop there? Because if that's all it is, like that's not what God means by being fully committed. It's got to be every day. And sometimes it's got to be every minute. Can you do better in your life with your relationship with God? Do you want to know him more? And what about your home? That's your private life. Is the foundation of your family secure? Are your relationships the right ones to have? And have you checked in with your kids lately? And what about outside your home? Your public life, your work, your life you live. After I'd listened to the interviews that Bono had been a part of, I was interested to hear more. I listened to a few of their songs and lyrics further, and I found some very interesting calls that they make in their music. They're calling for people to be authentic. The group does this one song called Please, and the lyrics say, get up off your knees and live it out.
Another song that they do, it's called Get Out of Your Own Way. Very interesting. I don't know how that, you know, if that's proper English. Get out of your own way, but it sure makes sense. The lyrics write, the master is looking for someone to need him. Wow. Now, is Pastor Nicole saying that you need to start listening to YouTube? No. It's a starting point. It's a talking point right now. Put God first in everything. Just as clothing is a necessity to go out into the world, let it equally be indispensable for you to put on Jesus when you go into the world or even hang out at your home. Making the master your number one priority in all that you do and say, seeking to know him more, because I need him. And you need him. And you need to make room for him. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, I think it'll be on the screen. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth. One version of the Bible says, of the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. Becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. I want to know Christ because of the surpassing worth of knowing him. I love that verse. That I may gain Christ and be found in him. People need to know that I love Jesus. And why I love Jesus. They need to know that. Verse 17 to 19 in Philippians 3 goes on to say, keep track of those you see running this same course, headed for this same goal. I look at you. We're headed for the same goal, aren't we? And I hope that we're all going the same way. There are many out there taking other paths. Choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross, but Easy Street is a dead-end street. I hope you don't want Easy Street. Because Easy Street is also Lazy Street. And it's also the I could care less street. Or, you know what, I'm lying to myself street. You see, you're not on Easy Street if you are being authentic with God. If you're being real and honest. Make good decisions in your life and in your family's life. Forming godly habits. Now, if you don't feel that you have godly habits, start them today. If you feel you could increase and do better, start them today. We have eyes watching us everywhere, wherever we go. Private and publicly. But God's also watching in our personal life. It takes time to make godly habits stick. So today, I started off this message saying that we needed a cultural shift as Christians. And the next, I talked about what it is that we do in our personal, private, and public life. And lastly, I pointed you to put God first in everything, to be abandoned to God alone. So my question to you is, where are you at? I wanted to bring out the empty chair. I'm a visual person. I like to see things to help me learn. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've already asked Jesus to come and be with us today. I've asked his Holy Spirit's presence to be here today, and he's here. And Jesus, I just ask that you would come and just sit at this chair right now. This chair is to remind you that Jesus is here. Sometimes we need a reminder or a visual expression to help us focus. And Jesus wants to hear from you now. It's your opportunity. The altars are open. And what we mean by that is this area right here, it's ready for you to come and pray. You can stand here, close your eyes, and just pray. You can kneel. The idea of the altar is saying, Jesus, I'm right here, and I need to change some things in my personal life, in my private life, in my public life. I need to make things better with you, God. I need to trust you more. I need to be honest with you. I need to do things better. So, not just sitting in your seat, but coming forward shows that you're making a decision. And I'm going to honor this seat. Can you stand with me? If we want to be authentic and real, we need to talk to God about everything that's happening in our life. We need to sometimes even pour it out. And we sometimes will cry. Sometimes we'll be happy when we get in God's presence. But you need to come. Come. Come even now. The song that they're going to sing is called I Surrender. No one needs to look around and see who's at the front. But I know if you're being truthful, there's going to be people at this altar. Because the Holy Spirit is talking to you about something. And there's always room for improvement, isn't there? And if Jesus is here, he wants to hear from you today. He wants you to be open and honest. We have prayer workers that will come, and they will come and pray with you so you're not alone. Our prayer workers can come now. Come and talk to Jesus.